verse from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries. Shroud of Turin's been in the news this week. It's going to go on display for the first time in several years in, of course, Turin. And once again raises the question of, well, is it for real the actual burial garment of Jesus? What tests can we do? How can we be sure to the extent that anyone can? What's the evidence? Can we unravel this mystery? Well, whether we can or whether we cannot, St. Paul at least tells us to be stewards of the mysteries, not especially solvers of the mysteries. And I think that's an interesting distinction. And I, in part, know why that is. I'm going to try to mystify you here. I have my blessing dollar. Plain old blessing dollar, right, like that. I have a common, ordinary quarter. Check that out. And we're going to see what happens when we try to turn a dollar into a dollar and a quarter. I simply roll up the dollar bill, make a little place to put the quarter. Just put that quarter right in there, Joe. Right in there. There you go. It's in there. It's in the dollar. You can feel it. Go ahead. Feel it. It's in there. You can see it. Except it was, it is, and it isn't. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a mystery. Where did it go? Where did it go? Let me check. Come here, Cohen. You know where it is? It's behind your ear. It looks stunning, doesn't it? And so far, everybody's fascinated and interested. Watch what happens to your own sense of mystery when I tell you how the trick is done. It is so unbelievable. And you should do one of these for Parker. It looks like $1. It's actually $2 glued together with a little space right here. Isn't that silly? See where it, where it says the United right there, Charles? Just leave that part unglued and you roll it up and you make the little pocket and it's just stunning. And aren't you all just a little bit disillusioned and disappointed at how stupidly simple that amazing looking trick is?
I didn't want to know that.
No, you don't. Oh, that's my point. Oh, well, that's actually a mystery we'll just leave for now. You turn it upside down and the coin drops in your pocket and then you can pull it out of anywhere.
See?
See, it's just, the point is, it's disappointing when we are solvers of the mysteries rather than stewards. And so I'm going to invite some conversation and thought about some of the things that are in fact mysteries that we've perhaps tried to imagine how they could be solved. But at the end of the day, perhaps they're better left mystery. I think of first a mystery to embrace, that of community. How does it work that a church or a team or a club or a family even, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, how does that work? The mystery of communion, this tiny bit of bread and this little bit of grape juice in this instance, oddly and mysteriously draws us together such that when we experience it, we individually feel stronger because of the strength we derive from other people. Community, the mystery of community, is that the whole is in fact greater than the sum of its parts, and all parts benefit in odd and interesting ways, mysterious ways, for having been a part. There's a convincing, if not definitive, overwhelmingly, not especially, but nonetheless significant body of research that says religious people are healthier than non-religious people. That being a part of a religious experience, regularly praying, going to church, reading the Bible, people who do that regularly report that their health is better and that they feel better about themselves. Well, the vector for that seems to be social support. People feel better even when they're ill, when they know that people are praying for them. People feel better literally when they're ill and someone comes by the house and brings them food, brings them their presence, spends time with them. When you take those moments and you add them all up, you have what is still still mysterious, because even research like this can't pin it down. The mysterious healing power of community. So I would invite us not to be the solver of, but rather embrace the mystery of community as we experience what would even be regarded in Old Testament and New Testament times perhaps as miraculous healing through our experience in the company of others. Embrace the mystery of community. So also I would suggest that we embrace the mystery of intimacy. When I talk with couples who are planning to marry, I like to tell them that, well, even though the Bible says the two shall become one, in my opinion, the two actually become three in that you remain each who you are. Nonetheless, you create a new being that is you as a couple, your partnership. And it is this partnership that becomes, in a healthy marriage or a healthy partnership or even a healthy friendship, that which is given the most nurture. It's a mysterious process, the development of intimacy in a partnership. The English word that we translate from the Hebrew for intimacy is to know, and we have that repeated in the Old and New Testament from time to time. We have sort of reduced that to a kind of physical intimacy that doesn't begin to touch what is mysterious. William Glasser and his wife Carlene put together in a book called Getting Together and Staying Together an analysis of what every human being needs to varying degrees, and to come to know someone and experience the intimacy of knowing is to know not just what those needs are in the other person, but how they vary and how they're different from yours and how we mesh them. Every person needs, to a greater or lesser degree, security, some level of financial security in some sense. It's why when the economy tanks, as it has been as of late, everybody gets a little jittery because it goes against one of all of our basic needs. But in a relationship, the need for security varies, and it's useful to get to know in another person what that level is. So also love and belonging. We all like to be appreciated to varying degrees. And in any relationship, as we come to know that, we come to more profoundly appreciate in the other what we know they need and how they respond to our need for loving and belonging. So also power. How much control do we like in our lives? Again, a meshing of or getting to know someone involves understanding how one need for power and another may be very different, but how they can be complementary. Finally, or next, a level of freedom that everybody needs, which is sort of the opposite of power. It's the anti-control. How much freedom do we need in a relationship? I have a very high need for freedom and autonomy, and fortunately I have a job that does that, so I don't need to exert a great deal of freedom and autonomy in my relationships. So it works, you know, this sort of self-understanding and self-analysis is useful as you get to know yourself and others in relation one unto another. And finally, fun. I don't know of anybody that has a higher need for fun than me. And it's wonderful to have people in my life that enjoy life as much as I do. And so the issue here is not what those needs are or what those levels are, because we're all different on all five of those. It's getting to know someone whose needs are complementary, whose needs are congruent, whose needs may fulfill in the relationship something that I'm less apt to be able to do. That is the mystery of intimacy. Getting to know, in a sense, how to merge these needs and create that third being and then nurture it. So I would invite you to embrace the mystery of community and embrace the mystery of intimacy. And finally, embrace the mystery of solitude. It's intriguing to me how various places in our culture give us insight. The 12-step self-help recovery process that many people use for a variety of different things has a great deal of insight and even genius for all of us. The 11th of those 12 steps reads as follows: that we have sought and continue to seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious connection to God, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. To seek through prayer and meditation conscious connection to God, praying only for the knowledge of His will. We spend a lot of time in prayer talking to God, bringing God our concerns, asking God to intervene perhaps in some form or fashion. The other side of that is through prayer and meditation in solitude to learn to listen to what God might have to say or bring to us in the way of experience that illuminates a mystery. And this can not only, but certainly can be done in ways unlike any other, through solitude. How many times in a given day or a given week do we simply stop what we're doing and seek in some way to pay attention to what God might have to say to us as well as what we have to say to God? It goes back to that moment in the garden, which we read about last week, where Mary came to where Jesus had been laid, presumably seeking a moment of solitude, and perhaps hoping in some way to find or regain a conscious connection with Jesus. And oddly enough, in her solitude, she hears Him call her name, at which point she understands that He's alive and that He'll never leave her. And even though He does, in a sort of physical way, anytime I believe throughout the course of her life where she needed a moment of strength, she could bring back that moment and hear Him call her name. It's why when we baptize, we ask, how shall this child be named? Such that the story of that experience becomes a moment at which, metaphorically, through the mouths of ministers and in community, we hear Him call us by name. It's a mystery, and it's a miracle experienced through solitude that insight comes to us, does it not? You've had perhaps moments of clarity that seemingly come upon you when you're all alone. That is the mystery of solitude. And I would invite you to continue to experience it as a mystery. Hear Him call your name. Hear Him be among us where two or three are gathered. And experience as a foretaste of the feast to come, being known by another human being. It is the best we can do to know what will be the case for all of us, with all of us, when He calls us all by name and brings in the kingdom. Experience the mysteries. Amen.